You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
I think people in the younger generation, Gen Zs, I don't think they quite understand how big, how great Howard Stern was 20, 25, 30 years ago. He stood alone. He was the king of all media, and he was the best interviewer in the business. I used to wonder, why do these people go on with Stern? He would ask things that nobody else would ask. He would go there. He was daring. He was dangerous. He was must listen, and he was huge. Well, as people probably know by now, something happened to Howie Hamptons. I will explain my theory about what happened to the once great Howard Stern. But the downfall, the demise of this man is something to behold. As we know, Joe Biden is afraid to do interviews. The New York Times last week had an editorial criticizing their guy, because he won't sit down with the New York Times, which is staffed by his biggest fans, just flat out Biden supporters, Trump haters. And he is afraid to sit down with the New York Times. He won't do one-on-one interviews with NBC, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, The Washington Post. He won't sit down with anybody, even if they're just out and out supporters of him. He's afraid they might ask one tough question that he hadn't prescripted, or his people hadn't prescripted for them. So he's hiding, and everybody knows it, and it's embarrassing. He wouldn't do a 3-minute halftime interview at the Super Bowl with Nora O'Donnell, what we thought was the softest of soft landing places. Wouldn't do the Super Bowl with, I don't know, at that point, there'd be 70, 80 million people watching. She would ask him, who do you think is going to win the big game? She would ask him, how's he holding up? And he was afraid to sit down for that. That was incredible. Every president does the Super Bowl interview, even if it's a Republican who knows that the interviewer hates him. But not Biden. He hid. He's hiding from everybody except Howie Hamptons. This is just remarkable. I was blown away by just the idea that the president of the United States, a feeble, corrupt, senile old man who can barely figure out how to get on and off a stage, flew to New York just to sit down with Howard Stern, knowing Howie Hamptons would give him a foot massage. And boy, Stern didn't disappoint. If you haven't seen this yet, if you haven't heard this yet, I will sum it up with one word: sad. This is one of the saddest things I've ever seen. Again, I was a huge Stern guy. Everybody was. Hell, I used to go against him in the mornings on the radio in Boston. It was a huge deal when we beat him in the ratings. We did that 3 times, 3 rating books, we beat him. He beat us most of the time, but we beat him 3 times. And I can remember getting the numbers and just celebrating, because Stern was so big, even syndicated around the country, even though he wasn't in this market, he was everywhere, and he was big, and he was muscle. And people would say, did you hear what Stern said today? Did you hear what he asked that politician or that actress or that celebrity? He was just, I can't even put into words how big he was, how different he was than everyone else. Well, that guy is gone. That guy, the king of all media, that bad boy of radio, He's dead and gone. Rest in peace, Howard Stern. The thing that he represents now is just humiliating. He is just a tool, a stooge of power, of the deep state, of the establishment. We saw it with COVID. He hid at home. He didn't come out. He admits it. During COVID, for 2.5 years, he stayed in his various mansions. He's got one in the Hamptons. He's got one in Palm Beach. He has become, he's morphed into everything he hated over the years. And I'll say this, this is the worst insult I can think of. He's become Don Imus. Don Imus was a total stooge to power. He would get whoever, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, in his studio, and he would slobber all over them. Imus made the decision before Stern did that this was a good career move. And in a way, it is. I mean, it's simple to explain. Howard Stern would not have survived if he hadn't flipped, if he hadn't transitioned into this lickspittle, this handmaiden to powerful people. He doesn't speak truth to power. He grovels to power now. And I know he makes whatever he makes, 50, 70, 100 million a year. At some point, you have to say, how much is your dignity worth? Because Howard Stern sold his dignity years ago. And most people don't even listen to him anymore. Most people are disgusted with what he's become. His former sidekicks have mostly just turned away in disgust. I remember we talked to Artie Lang one day, and he was just disgusted with Howard Stern for sucking up to James Corden and those stupid carpool karaoke's. And Artie went off saying, in the old days, we would have savaged that guy. And now Stern is good buddies with James Corden and Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert and you name it.
Dancing with Ellen DeGeneres.
Dancing, that was the lowest point. Yes, that, I was going to get to that. The lowest point was him telling Ellen DeGeneres he loves her dancing. That was when you knew the guy had just sold his soul to Satan. And it's so disappointing. I'm not kidding when I say this infuriates me. Don't get me wrong. But it's sad. It's just so sad to see what's become of this once great man, once great entertainer. If you thought he was going to suck up to Biden, and I did, I knew he would roll over and grovel to Biden. He took it to another level. We're going to play a clip that's, what, 2 minutes long? It's long. It's worth it. Because this is just, I've never seen anything like it. We play clips of media people sucking up to Biden and apologizing for this corrupt old fool all the time. But usually they're, you know, CNN people and Jim Acosta or Stephanopoulos. This is Howard Stern, the man who once ran for governor of New York as a libertarian, promising to bring back the death penalty and use the corpses of people he executed to fill in the potholes in New York. That was his platform. And it was big. He would draw huge crowds. I'll bet he doesn't do anything remotely anymore. He doesn't want his old fans. He doesn't like them. He likes Jennifer Aniston now. He likes the ladies of The View. He doesn't like the people, the fans who love the Whack Pack, the fans who loved Hank, the angry drunken dwarf, and who loved Artie Lang. Those people are dead to him, Stuttering John, dead to him. Now he runs with the beautiful people. Now he parties with Billy Joel. I could do this all day. I know we got a lot to get to, by the way. We have Jerry Seinfeld, who is discussing the death of comedy, and you'll get no better example. You get two great examples this weekend. You got Howie Hamptons, and you got Colin Jost, SNL star and alleged comedian, doing the same, sucking on Joe Biden's toes. Both of them humiliated themselves. We'll get to Jost, because Ironhead has some thoughts. He loves Jost, but we can all agree, I think, that what Stern has become is pathetic. is just embarrassing. Here's Biden sitting in his studio with Howie Hamptons. And I'm not sure how long the interview went, but we got a list of the lies Joe Biden told, as usual, just one ridiculous lie after another. And Howie calls him on none of them, follows up on none of the lies. I got a list of things he didn't ask, he didn't bring up, like, you know, Hunter Biden and all the underage escorts that he had sex with and drugs. That didn't come up. Howard Stern didn't mention the laptop, which I probably was, again, agreed to. Howard Stern agreed to do this interview, which means he agreed to ask certain things and not ask other things. They were hoping he would be kind to corrupt Joe Biden. He took it to another level. Let's watch. What is this, 2 minutes, Ironhead?
Yep, 2 minutes.
Again, it's long. It's worth it. This is the death of comedy right here. Howard Stern with Joe Biden. Go ahead.
I want to thank you for doing this today. I want to thank you for your compassion. You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love, because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country. And I want to thank you.
Can we stop it right here? Stop. I can't do this. I can't let it play.
That was less than I thought you were going to get through.
He just said you're compassion and you're a good father. So you'll be a good father to the country? Joe Biden is the father to the country. I'm sorry, Howie. That's George Washington. That's not Joe Biden. He's talking about what a good father this man is. I hate to bring it up, Howie. I mean, I think the old Howard Stern from 20, 30 years ago might have mentioned that Joe Biden showered with his daughter when she was a child. It's in her diary. It's indisputable. Joe Biden ignored his youngest grandchild because her father's a crackhead and her mother was a stripper. Ignored her, put up stockings for all the kids and all the pets, and ignored Navy Roberts, his youngest grandchild. He's a man who took his drug-addicted son and sent him all around the world as the bag man for his influence-peddling operation. Gee, is that what good fathers do with their troubled children? I can't think of a worse father than this guy. By the way, I got to mention this. He has said, Howard Stern has said in the past that Donald Trump was his best guest. He was on hundreds of times. He loved Trump. They were good friends, and he was on there, and they were laughing, and they were having a great time, like, weekly. He wouldn't ever interview Trump now. He hates Trump. He knows he has to hate Trump. That's part of the deal. But this thing, you think it's bad now? It just keeps getting worse. This two-minute clip is, I don't care if he makes $1 billion a year. He has sold out like nobody else. This is the ultimate sellout right here. And even Biden looks uncomfortable. He's like, is this for real? Is he really commending me for my compassion?
I think he's got a full diaper.
He is like looking at Stern going, wow, I knew he was going to kiss my ass, but this is ridiculous. Go ahead, play it.
Influence and organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin.
Getting NATO.
The incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history, 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist. Even the marijuana reform laws, enough with sitting there and fighting that battle. Respect for Marriage Act. What the hell is with people with this gay stuff? Who cares if someone's gay? How is it affecting anybody? People in love, it's good, right? Love is good.
My dad, I said we saw two men kissing one another in Rodney Square when I was going in to get a license. I looked at him and he said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other.
That's it. That's how I look at it.
You know who gives
I'd stop it.
That's okay. It. That was disgusting.
There's a list. The Federalist came out with a list the other day of like 350 lies Biden has told since he's been in the White House. That could be the most laughable, the most ridiculous. He's claiming that I believe it was 1959 that he and his father saw two guys kissing and they thought it was wonderful. Love is love, Joey. Now, if you said that to even, I don't know, Jen Psaki, she might follow up, tell me more. It's just so comical. He is such a pathological liar. Quick list. How much more of this clip do we have?
We got about 40 seconds left.
All right. I'm just going to give you the quick list since he brought up that. Here's just the quick list on things Biden said in this interview, which got no follow-up from Stern. He said he saved six people from drowning when he was a lifeguard.
Yeah, I got that too.
We'll get to that. He said he received, this is a new one, by the way. He said he received, quote, salacious pictures from women in the 1970s that he handed to the Secret Service. Joe Biden was a senator. There was no Secret Service. He didn't have Secret Service protection. He just made this up. He said he was arrested as a kid while standing with a black family on their porch protesting desegregation.
I got that too.
Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. This is a good one. He said he was the runner-up in the state scoring race as a running back in high school playing football. That's a new one too. Just made it up. Not true. Just not true. But Howie doesn't care. He is not there to ask a single follow-up, a single tough question. Let's finish with this amazing clip. Go ahead.
The square, when I was going in to get a license, I looked at him and he said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other.
That's it. That's how I look at it.
You know who deserves credit?
That's it.
The American people are relentless. The American people are stepping up. Who are they go for? They just never give up. We're the most unique country in the world. We really are.
We are, but I don't want to lose it.
We're not going to lose it, God willing.
Thank you for doing this.
Well, thanks for having me.
Mr. Appreciate President, look at me sitting with the president.
Look at me sitting with Howard Stern.
Wow, I mean, you can tell people this is the most important event in your lifetime.
I'll tell them that.
Oh, my God. It just hurts. That hurts to watch. That hurts to listen to. That he's just fawning over this man. And he knows, everybody knows, Joe Biden will not do an interview with anybody else. Just the softest landing spot is Howard Stern's studio. That is mind-blowing, mind-boggling.
Which way you want to go here? You want arrested for standing on a porch? Do you want to hear about his heroics as a lifeguard?
Sure. Let's hear these absolute fables. And again, he couldn't say this to Morning Joe without a little pushback. Only Howie and maybe The View would allow him to get away with this. But let's hear what else. Let's hear more lies Joe Biden told Howard Stern. Go ahead.
I learned a lot. And I made a lot of friends.
Did you ever save anyone's life when you were a lifeguard? Was anyone ever drowning?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, well, half a dozen times. Usually younger kids, you know, but...
You do the thing with the whistle and then jump in the bathing suit? And
you got it.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a big pool. There were seven lifeguard stands.
Wow. See, that would define my... I would brag about that everywhere I went.
Well, by the way, I did it up in Lake Ontario, too, when I was in law school. But look, one of the things that...
you saved a dude's life when you were in law school? You were still doing the lifeguard thing?
Yeah, lifeguards, I mean, you know, people just need help sometimes. I mean, it's not like it's so heroic.
You see, that is not only an amazing life-saving lifeguard. He's humble. He's not going to brag. just give it to me. Give me. I'm sitting here just embarrassed for Howard. Go ahead.
I'll play this. This is my favorite. This is him just, you know, getting arrested for drinking coffee or something.
And I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joe, honey, remember? True story. She said, remember when they were desegregating Linfield, the neighborhood, and it was, 70 homes built at once? suburbia. And I told you, and there was a black family moving in, and there was people were down there protesting. I told you not to go down there, and you went down. Remember that? And you came, you got arrested by standing on the porch with a black family.
Right.
And they brought you back, the police. And I said, yeah, Mom, I remember that.
This is the commander in chief, the leader of the free world, just making up stories like he's like some 8-year old, some kid in elementary school trying to impress his friends. And Stern sits there and goes, oh man, that's amazing. No record of him being arrested. In fact, once again, he was not involved in the civil rights. He admitted it like 30 years ago that he didn't protest. He didn't lead any civil rights movement. He was on the sidelines. And now he just makes up. I mean, I guess it's not as big a lie as saying that he got arrested going to see Nelson Mandela on Robben's Island, which is another. He just says these things that pop into his decaying brain. And there's no pushback, no follow-up, no consequences. We have the biggest liar who's ever sat in the Oval Office. And he's fighting for 4 more years. By the way, a poll came out. We'll get to it. Trump is crushing him. He's the least popular president in 70 years. Less popular at this point than Nixon or Jimmy Carter.
That's tough.
And Howard is sitting there going, oh, you're amazing. You're like our father. God, I hope not. I wouldn't want to shower with him. I'll just say that. Oh, God. I shouldn't do this to myself. Again, I used to love this guy. Everybody did. He was not the same. He was bold and risky and dangerous. And people who sat with him had, they were generally, fearful that he was going to embarrass them. And it was like a badge of honor if you sat through a Stern interview and handled all those crazy, tough, uncomfortable questions. And now they sit down with him for an hour and know he will do nothing but kiss his ass. God, that was a new low. That really was. Sad, sad day. I'm glad I renewed my Sirius subscription last year, and I call up. This is what you got to do. Call up or else they'll screw you. And you say, I lost my job or I can't afford this anymore. And they said you're paying, I think it was $35 a month. We can knock it down to $7 a month if you get rid of Stern. I said, what? Down to $7? Yes. I said, sign me up. So I no longer have the Stern channels, and I don't miss them at all. In fact, I'm glad I don't. If I had ever been in the car and heard that, I think I would have cried. So sad. But it wasn't the only embarrassing, fawning performance by an alleged comedian over the weekend. Colin Jost was the host or the star, the featured speaker at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is just a lesson in humiliation. All these stooges, all these handmaidens, these White House stenographers get together for a night and just pat each other on the back and give each other awards and fawn over the president. Just an exercise in a humiliation. And I watched because, I like pain. I like to hate watch. It was worse than I even imagined. Biden bombed, of course. Mm-hmm. He was, I don't know who was writing his jokes, but they were terrible. And then Jost, an SNL star, takes the stage and just flopped, absolutely flopped and fawned over Joe Biden for his decency. Yes, his decency. And said he was like his grandfather. God, this was humiliating. I think Ironhead disagrees. We'll get to that. I'll tell you, I got another list of things that Colin Jost didn't mention about Joe Biden. This is a comedian who's supposed to be roasting Joe Biden and instead got down on his knees and just sucked the toes of Joe Biden. Another exercise in humiliation. We'll get to that. And we got to get to the campus protests, which are escalating. They're now flying the Palestinian flag at Harvard. This Harvard's just gone. Harvard. We got an update on the student leader at Columbia who wants to kill all Zionists. You're not going to believe this, but he's a Boston guy. Yes. The guy who says he's a good friend and of Ayanna Pressley. He calls her his mentor. Still not a word from Ayanna Pressley. Not a word about these vile anti-Semitic protests. And I'm out on Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem, who killed her dog and proudly wrote about it in her book. And we'll get a little NFL draft talk because a prominent PhD had an observation about the NFL draft that was just incredible. We'll get to that and lots more. But first.
Excuse me.
Have you heard about Senolytics yet? It's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. Your life goals in your career and beyond require productivity. But let's be honest, the aging process is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity. That's why I use Qualia Senolytic. As we age, everyone accumulates senescent cells in their body. Senescent cells cause symptoms of aging, such as aches and discomfort, slow workout recoveries, sluggish mental and physical energy associated with that middle-age feeling. We all know that feeling. They block nutrients from our healthy cells, but Qualia Senolytic prunes senescent cells away from your healthy cells. Take it just 2 days a month. The formula is non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, and has a money-back guarantee. Qualia Senolytic has helped me be more productive and enthusiastic with fewer aches and pains day to day. To try Qualia Senolytic, go to neurohacker.com/newsmax for up to $100 off and use code word newsmax at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's neurohacker.com/newsmax and use promo code newsmax. All right, Colin Jost is a SNL guy. He's on the Weekend Update with Michael Che. He's terrible. He's a little rich kid from New York and went to Harvard, of course. He's best known as Scarlett Johansson's third husband. She was there, front row center, as he was the featured speaker at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I got to say, I was very disappointed in my friends in the pro-Hamas community. They did not disrupt the dinner. They were outside the dinner screaming at everybody going in. That was good to see, but they did not ruin the night. I was hoping they would. They didn't. But anyway, Joe Biden showed up. He struggled to eat his salad. He looked like he was 200 years old, but he got up and spoke. Somebody wrote some jokes for him. Every single one of them flopped. Everyone in the audience was just fake laughing, you could tell. And then Colin Jost takes the stage. Mm-hmm. He didn't use a teleprompter, by the way. Biden did, but Jost just had a pile of papers. He looked like he'd never done comedy before.
He's not a stand-up.
Most people don't know who he is because most people, unlike me, don't watch SNL anymore. But he's the head writer, comedy writer. So if you want to know why the show sucks, here's why. This guy, this absolute fraud who gets up and does a routine. I know you thought he was funny. He wasn't.
He wasn't funny the entire time, but there was funny in there. For sure.
A comedian is supposed to make the president uncomfortable in this situation. After the dinner, Biden tweeted out what a great job Colin Jost did. In case you're wondering how bad he was, the president loved it. That tells you all you need to know. But I'll just give you another quick rundown on things that Colin Jost didn't mention. Didn't mention Hunter Biden, of course. Didn't mention the cannibals. Uncle Ate His Cannibals. He didn't even say pause, like reading the teleprompter.
That would have been good.
I mean, that just happened last week. Mm. And this clown couldn't mention it because he was there again to rub Biden's shoulders. And that is what he did. Tell me the funny part. Iron Head, go ahead.
All right. If you don't find this clip funny, you're just lying to everybody. That's how I'm looking at it right
all
here.
All right, let's hear. Let me see if I can control my laughter. Go ahead.
My Weekend Update co-anchor, Michael Che, was going to join me here tonight, but in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
That was a good joke.
All right, that was the highlight right there.
That was a good joke.
I'm telling you, they had crowd shots. People didn't even know when to laugh. It was so bad. It was just terrible.
I got to point this out too. Norm MacDonald did one of these and it sounded awfully familiar because
I don't believe it.
Oh no, it's true. Look it up. Look it up on YouTube.
All right. I will. He also, he finished with like a minute long story. No jokes, just a story about his grandfather and how his grandfather voted for Biden before he died.
This I can't
defend. He's probably going to vote for Biden again now that he's died. But and how he reminds him because he's such a decent man. A decent man. I'm sorry. I can't handle this. A decent man doesn't ignore his youngest grandchild. A decent man doesn't use his children, his oldest drug-addled son, to go around the world with picking up bags of cash. That's not what decent men do. A decent man doesn't look at his watch when the bodies of murdered soldiers and Marines come back home in caskets. A decent man reaches out to Gold Star families. A decent man knows how to say Lakin Riley's name. This is not a decent man sitting there, but this absolute fraud just fawning over Biden. Again, that's not the goal. The goal is to make fun of Biden. The goal is to make Biden uncomfortable. But he can't do that. All right. Are we done with this? Well, I do want to mention the funniest part. I swear to God, Joe Biden got up there and was, of course, giving the media credit for what a wonderful job they do, which they do if the job is helping Joe Biden. And he went on a little rant against disinformation. You must fight disinformation. In the same breath, he mentioned the bloodbath hoax, the dictator on day one hoax. He said this right after warning against disinformation. He lied about Trump. And of course, these people have no problem with it. They're there to help him spread the lie, to spread the hoaxes. That's all he does. Lies and hoaxes, hoaxes and lies. But it was
I will say he went after the Washington Post. He went after the New York Times. He went after NBC, MSNBC. I don't have that one. I do have his opening.
And it wasn't even a little bit funny.
Well, that's how you know he's doing well is because everyone's quiet. They're all pissed off at him.
No, they weren't. They want to laugh. They want jokes. They want humor. It was so bad.
I enjoyed this opening line. I thought it was.
All right, let's hear it.
Like many of you here tonight, I pretend to do news on TV.
They didn't enjoy that.
Yeah, that was great. He was great. He's wonderful.
Oh, come on. It was not as bad as you're making it sound. The end
was in his way. Yeah. Shuffling the papers. Yeah. It's like he didn't even rehearse. He's not used to this.
No. You know?
Actually having to write jokes and make people laugh.
And I can't defend the grandfather story. That was disgusting, but it wasn't a complete terrible bombing. That's for sure.
Yeah, we don't have to do it. It bothers me, man, when people start talking about decency and compassion.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a tell. That's revealing. That means that you are just a shameless propagandist. If you're going to talk about decency with this man who doesn't have a shred of decency in his life, just uncomfortable, just awful, awful. I don't care what you say, Ironhead. You didn't convince me. You didn't do a very good job of defending this guy.
Yeah, well, you weren't going to it if I showed you like Richard Pryor in his prime right now. You'd be like, that's stunk.
That's not true. If you showed me, Norm MacDonald or Ricky Gervais would have gone up there and just made Biden cringe.
Yes.
He would have made him so uncomfortable. But people would have laughed uncomfortably. That's the job. And he couldn't do it. But that's, that's why they picked him. The whole objective here was to prop up this corpse who's running for re-election. All right, we got so much here to get to. Let's get to the madness, the chaos on campus. The latest from the pro-Hamas crowd. If you missed it over the weekend, Saturday, they took the American flag down at Harvard and put the Palestinian flag up. That's what the Boston Globe called a quiet weekend for the civil unrest on campus, taking down the American flag, putting up Palestinian flag. And just a reminder, 6 months ago, October 7th, a group of Jewish students in Harvard asked the school to put up the Israeli flag. And they said, no, we don't do that. Palestinian flag, good. Israeli flag, bad. I said this on Twitter. If there's one positive to come out of all this madness, it's that the whole country is seeing what a joke Harvard is. Harvard is now a madrasa with a $50 billion endowment. They're doing more to indulge these miscreants than anywhere, except perhaps Columbia. Barstool is now selling, I think, Portnoy tweeted out, selling Hamas University shirts. So get ready to see those. Hamas University, which is basically what it is. It is a place where they indoctrinate stupid kids, because the dumbest people in society go to Harvard. They indoctrinate them into this anti-Semitic cult, and they indulge them, and they pander to them, and protect them. So it's going to get worse. It's already getting worse. Quick update on this punk. I don't even know how to say his name. Kamani James, 20 years old. We told you about him last week. There's your Hamas shirt if you're interested. We told you about him last week. He's the leader of the protest. They're the leader of the protest. He's non-binary.
Naturally.
And he, you know, we played you some of his rants last week. He wants to kill all Zionists. He wants to murder Jews. He has been kicked off campus, which means nothing because the school is remote now. So he's taking his classes remotely. And we didn't know this last week. We know it now. He's a Boston guy. He went to Boston Latin. He was a student representative on the Boston City Council. And all he did was rant against white people and how he hates white people. That's why he calls Ayanna Pressley his mentor and his friend. And of course, Ayanna Pressley has not been asked about this punk. She's not been asked if she disavows him. That's not how it works. The media, the Boston Globe, the local TV stations, none of them chased down Ayanna Pressley and said, do you repudiate what your protege, what your dear friend said about Jews, about Zionists? Nothing, nothing. Well, this punk also says his goal is to someday end up in Congress. And since he's from Boston,
probably will.
I will not be shocked. He's only 20 years old, but I will not be shocked if he achieves his goal. Couple more things about this weekend. Obviously, there's two different ways they handled it. You know, at Harvard and Columbia, at UCLA, they indulge these punks. And other schools, not so much. The highlight of the weekend from everybody was at Emory University in Atlanta, which was pretty big anti-Semitic protest where they were, you know, rooting for the Intifada. Well, one punk, and I thought it was a woman when I saw the video, but apparently it's a man, some long-haired freak, broke the law, refused to go home, resisted arrest, and got arrested, and tried to fight off the cop, tried to make it difficult for them to throw him in the wagon. And this was just beautiful. This was just glorious. Here is this punk from Emory University trying to wheel away from a cop who doesn't mess around. This is a cop who, you can tell, doesn't miss leg day or arm day or any day. This guy is jacked. And here's how he handles this punk. Go ahead.
You're hurting me!
Just don't lift me!
You're hurting me! Ow! 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 Ow!
I just assumed that this kid's father is sitting somewhere just in shame, hiding in shame. He tries to lay down on the ground to avoid being, you know, taken away. And the guy just grabs him around the legs, picks him up like he's a three-year-old, and drags him away. That's how it's done. Of course, that's not how it's done everywhere, as we see. They have been negotiating with the protesters at Columbia, and they've reached a stalemate. You know, they don't know what to do. Well, here's what you do right here. Here's what you do at Arizona State. They asked the frat boys, the guys, the frats, to help them dismantle the encampment. And they did. They ripped down all the tents and threw them in the dumpsters. It was another great thing to see. But let's get to Alan Dershowitz. Do I have time for this? Dershowitz, I run hot and cold on Dershowitz. I hated him last week when he was defending OJ. This week, he's back in my good graces. He goes on. I think this was Newsmax.
Yep.
Yes. And he has a has a prediction. And I was wondering this, like, what's the next step, particularly at the places that are allowing this thing, this anti-Semitic bile to just escalate? You know, you got signed, you got Hezbollah flags, you got swastikas. You have people calling for the death of Jews. Kill the Jews on campuses. This is, wouldn't be allowed with any other group. You couldn't go on campus and say, kill all the gays or kill all the blacks or anything. Of course you couldn't. It'd be snuffed out in a second. But it's different because apparently anti-Semitism on college campuses is allowed. You know, it's nuanced. Well, you're wondering, with the combination of these anti-American, anti-Western, anti-Semitic protests, which you're feeling emboldened, and the open border, you're wondering, what happens next? Well, Dershowitz, who's been around for a while, he's 85 years old, has a prediction. These pro-Hamas punks are going to become Hamas if we allow it. Let's listen.
Professor Dershowitz, always great to have you. Your take on the situation at Columbia. What should the university be doing to these students?
It's much more dangerous than I think the media has presented. What we see, particularly outside the campuses, but sometimes inside the campuses, are a fifth column, are a group of radical students who would actually join Hamas if Hamas came to America and tried to engage in terrorism here. If it comes to a theater near you, these are students who are chanting, rape is resistance, we love Hamas rockets, burn down Tel Aviv, 10,000 more October 7th. These are not people who are calling for peace. They're not people who are calling for feeding the residents of Gaza or for a ceasefire. They're calling for terrorism against America, against Jewish students. And I think there are hundreds, perhaps thousands, but at least hundreds of these extreme radicals who would join Hamas, who would actually plant bombs. Let's remember, we have a history of this. During the 1970s, when I represented some of the dissidents against the Vietnam War, there were others who planted bombs at the University of Wisconsin, who tried to blow up the recruiting center at Fort Dix, who blew up other universities, who murdered people, who murdered policemen. And by the way, one of the people who murdered policemen in New York was then appointed to a faculty position at Columbia University, Catherine Boudin, who served, I don't remember, 25, 30 years for participating in the killing of Rockland County police officers. She was offered a position and took it and taught students at Columbia. So what we're seeing is people who will engage in terrorism, people who will endanger your lives and the lives of your children, are calling for, we are Hamas. If we are Hamas, that means you will join Hamas. That means we are rapists. We are murderers. We are kidnappers. We are beheaders. So these are not children who are just chanting from the river to the sea. That's bad enough. These are people who will join Hamas and will plant bombs in your schools, in your libraries, in your synagogues, and they must be stopped before they have an opportunity to engage in actual terrorism.
Some pretty bad
people. So right. Think about it. Hey, by the way, that's one of Barack Obama's mentors, the woman that blew up the set bombs at Fort Dix. William Ayers, same thing. William Ayers did that. He was with the Weather Underground. It happened before. Right now, we have this really toxic combination. The reason it's going to get worse is because the people, the anti-Semites, aren't just in these encampments, in these tents. They're in the administration. On the faculty. We've seen it. We've seen professors and administrators participating in the protests. We've heard from the presidents of Harvard and Columbia and MIT who don't consider hate, Jew hatred, to be a violation of their conduct policies. So they're going to continue because no one's going to stop them. And at the same time, people are pouring over the border, terrorists, known terrorists. And the worst, and the other reason it's going to get worse is Israel's not stopping. They're going to go into Rafah. They're going to continue their mission to hunt down Hamas and kill them. And that means civilians will die because civilians die in war. This is a war. It's not a genocide. We've gone over this. It's a war. And because the Jews are going to win the war, these people are going to step up their game here. It's going to get worse. I think Dershowitz is right. If they're not, there are people right now planning a way to set off bombs, to kill. They're not just threatening to kill Jews. They're going to plan to kill Jews. It's going to get worse. And the schools, not just the punks, not just these miscreants who are out there protesting in masks, you know, with their Hezbollah flags and their swastikas. The presidents, the professors are going to root this on, are going to support this. So expect it to get worse before it gets better. People, someone's going to die. That's a fact. Someone is going to die. And Joe Biden will stand idly by and watch. He's gonna, when Israel goes into Rafah, Joe Biden's going to lose his mind because Dearborn is more important than Rafah to him. And this latest poll we'll get to is going to make things worse. We'll get to that. We'll get to the poll. We'll get to Kristi Noem and Joe Biden's, Donald Trump's secret meeting with Ron DeSantis. I don't know. It's got me a little excited. We'll talk about it. But first.
Excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com. Use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores. But you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry. Every day before he goes to trial in this ridiculous case in New York, which has already fallen apart, by the way, but Donald Trump says, I'm winning by a lot in all the polls. Now, that's generally hyperbole. Lately, last few weeks, it's been close. It's been tied, Trump by a point or two. No more. Trump now, when he says I'm winning by a lot, is telling the truth. This poll is devastating to the, do you have it up? Yeah. Devastating to Joe Biden and all his supporters in the mainstream media. This is from Interactive Polls, CNN poll. General election, Trump v. Biden. That's it. Two-man race, Trump 49%, Joe Biden 33%. Throw in the third parties, RFK Jr., Cornel West, Jill Stein. Jill Stein, by the way, a candidate for president who told Jewish kids to go back to Poland. She's Jewish and she's American. Go back to Poland, Poland, where Auschwitz still stands. That's so vile. And she's a candidate for president getting 3% in this poll. Cornel West, 4%. RFK Jr., 16%. He's not going away, man. I mean, I know they won't give him Secret Service protection. I know they want him to go away. But he's not going away. He's got energy, man, and he is hanging in. Trump, 42. Biden, 33. So with third-party candidates, Joe Biden gets one-third of the vote. This is a guy who has the support of everyone in the mainstream media who are all out there lying about all the great things he's done. He has the support of for the most part, academia, Hollywood, big tech, and he's getting 33% of the vote. That is alarming if you're in the Biden camp. Those numbers are worse than any incumbent in 70 years. Trump is going to come out today and say, I'm winning by a lot. And he's going to be right. He's winning by a lot. And the more they try to put him in prison, the more his numbers go up. Here's how he could put his numbers up even more. He had a secret meeting in Miami with Ron DeSantis. I would love to see him pick Ron DeSantis. That media would lose their minds. DeSantis is a fighter. While Trump's in court, DeSantis could be out there campaigning all over the country, just taking the fight in this culture war to them, talking about, you know, women and men and women's sports and men and women's restrooms and every other hot button issue. I don't think it's likely. A lot of bad blood there, but hey, Reagan picked Bush. Trump could pick DeSantis. And if not vice president, he could do something, be attorney general. He could be something in the Biden, in the Trump administration, and he would be great. I hope that happens. Credit to DeSantis, by the way, for not going to Mar-a-Lago, not bending the knee. They just had a meeting. We don't know a lot of details. Trump needs money, and DeSantis is a good fundraiser. Maybe it was just about that, but keep an eye on that. DeSantis is going to join the campaign, and it's going to drive the media insane. All right. Do we have time to do this?
Yep.
NFL draft. I got to get to this. The NFL draft. We'll save Seinfeld, even though it's apropos. We'll save Seinfeld. The NFL draft was huge, huge. As we mentioned the other day, 275,000 people showed up in Detroit for day one of the draft. Over the course of the 3 days, 700,000 people attended the draft in person. The NFL is just bigger than ever. People love quarterbacks. Lots of quarterbacks taken. New England, here in New England, everyone's excited for Drake May. It was just a big deal. And these guys are all, you know, thrilled to be drafted, thrilled to sign contracts. And I was waiting for this. I thought it might come from, you know, Jamel Hill or Keith Olbermann or Bomani Jones and one of the usual suspects. It came from, put that up on the screen, Ironhead, a PhD named Royce Watkins. His Twitter name is Boyce Watkins, PhD, Wealth is Power. He tweets out a picture, like a simulation of the draft, of teams like raising their hands and, you know, buying NFL prospects. And he writes, the NFL draft is a lot like a slave auction, except the slaves aren't working for free. No, they're not, doctor. They're working for millions and millions. One small flaw in this, I would say. See those guys up on stage who are being selected in the draft?
Yep.
Have to play in the NFL. They're not indentured servants. They choose to play in the NFL because it's a great job. And as I pointed out on Twitter, these are probably the only people finishing up with college, going into the job market, who aren't evaluated based on race. Race has nothing to do with it. You know, a white cornerback went in the second round to the Eagles. The idea that this is a slave auction is so absurd. Colin Kaepernick has said it in the past. I mean, the idea that these guys are slaves making $30, $40 million, playing the game they love, achieving their lifelong dream. You got to try harder than that, Doc. The guy had like 200,000 followers, and he's spewing out this nonsense.
This tweet did get community noted, which I found pretty funny.
I missed the community note. I know he got ratioed, but
it says community note. Slaves are involuntarily held against their will, forced to do work by threat of violence. The NFL players are voluntarily engaging in their chosen profession and can quit at any time.
And if you watch the draft, these guys are the happiest. I'm not sure slaves who were bought at auction and separated from their families were quite as excited as Caleb Williams was to go number one. Just absurd. How does this guy even show his face in public after such an idiotic observation?
He was more excited when he got a Sephora gift card from his new coach.
the NFL just rules the world. Now, they're going to play in Brazil next year. It's going to be huge. They're going to go to 18 games. They're going to move the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend. It's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm all for it. It's a great sport. Although, wearing those little rubber caps on their helmets, I don't know about that. That's going to be weird. But they're allowed to wear those little protective caps this year to avoid concussion. So you won't have quite the sound effects of those collisions, which people love. So not sure that's going to work, but everything else is working great for the NFL. And we will be watching. But that will do it for today, this crazy Monday. We'll get to Seinfeld, who has some thoughts on the death of comedy. But I think Howard Stern and Colin Jost took care of that, Jerry. They showed us how comedy has died. Very tragic death this weekend. But thanks to everyone for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.